Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Terry Tyler asks, is it true we have a big chance to get Julian Sain? Julian Sain, of course, is the 2024 quarterback out of Carlsbad, California. Yes, Terry, I would say he is, I don't want to say the most likely right now, because I think that they're actually in a pretty good spot with the CJ Carr early on, which is pretty funny to think about. Lloyd Carr's grandson from the state of Michigan might be a guy that's seriously in play for Notre Dame. But I really do think they're in a pretty good situation with CJ Carr. But as for Julian Sain, he's kind of been pretty consistent with the fact that Notre Dame, University of Texas, and Georgia have kind of been his top group of teams for a while. And he's a guy that, although only being a sophomore in high school, he wants to make a decision pretty quickly. He wants to make it during the summer. So it's a decision that is on the horizon. It's a decision that we tangibly know when it's going to happen. And I think Notre Dame's in a good spot. Do I think that they're the leader? I think that it's honestly a three-way battle right now. I wouldn't say that there's any clear leader comparative to one another. And he's a kid that's from California that is going to get out of the state of California most likely. Either he's going to go over to the Southeast in Georgia, he's going to go down to Texas, or he's going to come up to the South Bend in Notre Dame. So we'll see what that kind of looks like closer to the summer, but they're definitely in a good spot for Julian Sain. There is no doubt about that one. I want to go to Alejandro Cornell. Do you believe that the 2023 class will have more of an impact as freshmen than 2022 will? Although 2023 will be deep, 22's class will be developed better than in the past, which will limit 2023 freshmen. Alejandro, I think it's an interesting conversation. So, like, let's work through some of the players that we think are going to play a lot for 2022, and then maybe we'll circle back to 2023 real quick. So Tobias Merriweather is the guy on offense that we expect to play a ton. Jadarian Price, to a degree, is going to play football, I think, in some capacity. Offensive lineman will most likely be redshirt. We'll see what the backup tight end spot looks, number two, behind Michael Mayer, if either Holden stays or Eli Raritan could take a hold of some reps as the number two tight end or beat Mitchell Evans outright or, you know, the other tight ends that are coming back from injury. And we'll see what happens as far as tight ends. But defensively, we expect Junior Toyalamaka to play at middle linebacker at least some. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a starter. Brian mentioned, wouldn't surprise me if at some point he's the starter down the line at Mike, but we will see what happens, obviously, there. I think Jaden Mickey's an interesting player. Can he take a corner reps? Benjamin Morrison. So I think that the impact from freshmen in 2022 is going to be more on the offensive side of the football than maybe on the defensive side of the football outside of Junior Toyalamaka, because I am personally just a big believer in Ryan Barnes. I think he's going to – it's going to be a tough battle to be the number two corner, but I think that he has the talent level to take a hold of a high amount of reps. So I'm going to say that corner isn't as big as maybe we envision. I think that they have an opportunity to play. I think Jaden Mickey can play as a freshman, but I really am a believer in Ryan Barnes. So 2022, there's definitely going to be some contributors. I mean, 2023, let's take a look at what we're going to be losing, right? Tight ends, I mean, I think Cooper Flanagan's going to come into a loaded room with Eli Raritan and Holden Stays, so I wouldn't imagine too much out of that situation. Some of the offensive linemen could be interesting because, I mean, in theory, you're losing at least two. I mean, if whether Jared Patterson ends up playing center or he plays ends up playing offensive guard, you're going to lose him, obviously. And then, I mean, Josh Lugg's going to be out the building as well. So there's going to be some battles inside. So whether you get a guy like a Sam Pendleton or Charles Jagasaw or whoever the interior lineman is, that comes in and can contend early on for maybe you at least fill one of those guard spots. I think it's interesting to just kind of keep that one open for interpretation. Wide receivers, I mean, I expect a couple of these wide receivers to compete in 2023. Again, Braylon James is in the class. See if they can close on guys like Jaden Greathouse and Rodney Gallagher. But there's going to be plenty of opportunity. I mean, you're going to have guys like Tobias Merriweather, Deion Colsey, and, of course, Lorenzo Styles coming back. But you're also losing Avery Davis, most likely losing Joe Wilkins. You're losing Braden Lindsay. So there's going to be some opportunities to play in the wide receiver room next year. So I think there's going to be opportunity in that regard. Running backs going to be tough to break into the conversation for me because, obviously, you're going to have, in theory, at least 2 to 3 running backs out of this stable that you have back next year. I mean, I who knows if Chris Tyree has a big enough season where he can declare early. I wouldn't anticipate it just because, you know, it's just not really his niche as a running back. He's more of a big play threat, and I don't know if the volume is going to be there to leave early. But I think that running back's going to be a little bit tough. If Dante Moore gets into the class, then, I mean, if Tyler Buchner has the kind of a up-and-down year, then I could see Dante Moore coming in and at least competing for a starting job. Obviously, I anticipate Tyler Buchner having a great season, so not going to predict that one, but something, you know, just interesting to watch. So offensively, I think there's a lot of opportunity to play from a interior offensive line perspective. And I think wide receivers are definitely going to play in 2023, no matter what that class kind of shapes out to be. If it's a Ronan Hanifin, Rodney Gallagher, Braylon James, whoever it is, I think there's going to be opportunities to play in the wide receiver room for the 2023 class. On defense, I mean, you're going to be losing Isaiah Foskey. You're going to be losing Justin Adamalola. You're going to be losing Jason Adamalola. There's going to be a lot of snaps that are vacated on the defensive line. So, I mean, you look to obviously Keon Keeley coming in. Does a Brendan Vernon compete for some strong side end? Can he flex inside? Is it Boubacar Traore? Is it Devin Houston? Is it Jason Moore if he ends up in the class of Notre Dame? It's a question mark, but I think defensive line is definitely going to have a big opportunity to play next year. Linebackers hard to envision, even though Drake Bowen is an excellent football player. Preston Zinter is a good football player as well, but you're going to have the freshman class of 2022 that we've talked a lot about already today with the junior Tuialamaka, Nolan Ziegler, and Jalen Sneed. And I think it's going to be tougher to gain a high volume of reps at linebacker there. So that one might be a little bit tougher. Cornerback, Cam Hart might be out, but we don't know who the cornerbacks in this class are. So that one's hard to predict right now. I think if it's Micah Tease, Micah Bell, whoever it ends up being, Christian Gray even, I think they're going to come in ready to compete. But again, I'm not going to predict if I don't even know who's going to be in the class. And the last one for me is safety. So, I mean, to Alejandro, this is a long-winded response to say I think 2023 has more of an opportunity to compete, to be honest with you, because I'm going to safety now. I mean, you're going to be out. I mean, Brandon Joseph might leave. Who knows, right? If he has a big season, he could be off to the NFL. You're going to be losing DJ Brown. You're going to be losing Houston Griffith. You have Ramon Henderson still. You have Xavier Watts, who are both very talented football players. But I think that a guy like a Peyton Bowen and even a Don Shuler could come in and they can compete for reps. I think that that's very possible. So, Alejandro, appreciate the question. So to answer it, long-winded response to say, I think 2023 is going to have more of a shot than 2022. 2022 in some spots, but I think the depth of 2023 is going to have more opportunity for players to play early.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's a question about Brian's birthday plans. I can't answer that. I am not Brian, unfortunately. Off topic question from 99 Problems, but BK ain't one. Who is the better quarterback prospect, Buckner or Dante? Different styles, and COVID impacted Tyler Buckner's high school season. But I'd be interested in your opinion. Also, would you say the gap is big? So, 99 Problems, I'm going to save this one for Brian, too, at least for his response. I'm going to respond it and just say that I only saw – so, off of the junior film I've seen of both Dante and Tyler Buckner, I would – I think I would take Tyler Buckner as in an all-around sense, because I think he just brings you such a huge weapon as a runner, and he was a really good passer, obviously, coming out of the state of California. So I would actually probably take Tyler Buckner. I think Dante Moore is a better pure passer than Tyler Buckner was coming out of high school, at least as a junior. I think he just has an innate instinctual side of the game to play quarterback position and really accurate player. But, man, I think if Tyler Buckner fully unlocks his talent level that was limited on the high school level because he missed the season with injury and then COVID impacted his senior year, I think his upside is immense, man. So I might take Tyler Buckner just based upon their junior years, but I will also have Brian answer this one if he gets back in time, because he fully evaluated Tyler Buckner as a recruit. I have not. I just – basing this upon what I saw as a general fan. So – I think I would take Tyler Buckner, but it's a apples to oranges comparison because they both just win in so many different ways. All right, we have Delusional Jack Cohn Fan. Fantastic name. How much does missing spring hurt Tobias' chances at starting at the W? I would say – so there's multiple layers to this one, honestly. I would say that it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help. Because, you know, coming into the spring and having that momentum building into the summer and fall would have been huge. I mean, it would have been. Like, let's not act like it would not have been. But I think in the other instances that I spoke about earlier, the wide receiver room has not been developed incredibly well over the last few years. So you're walking into a room as Tobias Merriweather, who's a guy that everyone believes is kind of physically ready to go, at least from a technical perspective, closer to what a typical high school senior might be. So I think that he's going to walk into a room that he is not behind the eight ball from a technical perspective. From there, I think it's just about the physical development that he has, right? The strength profile. Is he ready to play college football? So I don't think it necessarily hurts him, because I think that he is technically advanced for his age. So I think that he'll be all right in that instance. But we shall see. We shall see. All right, we have Anthony Solomon. This is for Brian, but Anthony, again, I'm going to answer this one, and then Brian can answer when if he gets back in time. Could they use Tobias as someone who spells all the positions to his current skill set? Anthony, I think in a vacuum, yes. I think that he has the skill set where – I think I mentioned this when we were talking about him a little bit. He could definitely play into the boundary with his height and his length. He could definitely play in the field, because I think he's a pretty loose athlete that can run routes and he can navigate space well. And he can even be a big slot, I think, because he has a good set of hands and he's a good route runner. And he can do all those types of things. I do think, though, and this is just my general opinion, that as a freshman, I don't know if I want you just spelling multiple positions. I want him competing to play, right? So I think sometimes when you ask guys to do too many things, that kind of takes away from development sometimes. So I would rather Tobias fit into a spot. If it's boundary, if you feel like the W position is the best spot for him to contribute in 2022, let's get him there and let's let him develop and try to take a role in that spot against a Deion Colsey, against a Joe Wilkins, whoever else they want to throw into the boundary. I think that's spelling. I would rather develop that other side of it, the versatility side, after he's kind of got his feet wet and he's been a productive player on the level. I don't know if I subscribe to a college player necessarily spelling at multiple positions as a freshman. I think that's just a little counterproductive to development, if that makes sense. All right, we have James Lawrence Zensi. I'm going to pronounce it. I don't know. Over under how many field goals we miss this season? Well, James, that's very, very pessimistic, man. How many field goals we miss? Look, I think that there is legitimate concern about the field goal kicking this year, and I mean, I'm not gonna stray away from that, right? Because I mean, field goal kicking has kind of been up and down, just in a general sense, over the last couple of years with Jonathan Doerr. I mean, if we're being completely honest, so we're coming into a situation now where there's just, you know, you have Blake Groupie, who transferred over from Arkansas State, who did some good things at Arkansas State from a field goal percentage perspective. But, you know, the showing in the spring and the spring game, there's going to be a lot of worry for that position, and I completely get it. So I think it's going to be better than you think, but it also – I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not worried at all about it, right? Like, there's – it's definitely a little bit unsettling. But I am just hoping that the kicking situation is not something that is going to cost a football game. So I am going to remain optimistic until I cannot be anymore. So let's hope it's not – a big deterrence for the season. All right, Brandon, can you rate the wide receivers in the 24 class for most talented and impactful in Notre Dame to target? Bredell Richardson, Micah Hudson, Ryan Wingo, Tysier Denmark, Jeremiah McClellan, and Emmett Mosley. Brandon, it's a great question. I could spend a lot of time on this question. So let me work through this. It's a little tough for me, Brandon, honestly, because all these receivers are different, right? They're going to play different roles. I mean, I would say for me, the most impactful wide receiver on that list is Ryan Wingo. I think he's a really talented, explosive athlete that I think he do things inside and out, right? Like, he's one of those guys that I truly think can play all three positions, even though he's not like the biggest receiver in the world. He's right around 6'2", but he can play in the boundary. He can play to the field. I think he could do some stuff in the slot as well. There's just kind of an advanced feeling to a Ryan Wingo, and he's a really talented receiver. So I would probably go with Ryan Wingo just overall. Micah Hudson's a really interesting player because he's got a little bit of length to him, but he's a really talented player who wins. I think he wins. Sorry, Brent. I just saw your comment about Pendleton. We'll talk about Pendleton in a second. I think Micah Hudson is another guy that I think he's more of an outside receiver, play to the boundary, play to the field, can do a little bit of everything. Not quite the explosive athlete that I think Wingo is, but I think he's got the length, good hands, ball skills, all that great things. Tysier Denmark's a really interesting player because he's a guy that actually – he plays his high school ball about 30 minutes from me. I live right outside of Philadelphia. He plays at the same high school that Will Fuller did, Roman Catholic, there in Philadelphia. And he is – I mean, for his high school, his quarterback situation is not great. The team, honestly, was not very good last year. So a lot of times they'll put him at Wildcat quarterback and just tell him to run the football. And he's kind of that Rodney Gallagher-esque type of player, right? Because he is more of a slot type that can break a ton of tackles, can navigate space well. So he's more of your slot type than Wingo or Hudson. But Denmark is a really talented player. I really like him a ton. I really like him a ton for that role. Jeremiah McClellan, of course, is out of the Missouri area, out of St. Louis. He's a teammate of 2023 running back Jeremiah Love, who I really hope that they can get Jeremiah Love in to the class somehow. We'll see how the numbers kind of shake out. But McClellan's really he's a little bit skinny. He's long for his height. And he's just smooth. Like, everything about him is really smooth. I don't think that he's a dynamic athlete, although he did average a nice yards per catch last year. He reminds me a little bit of like a Tyler Boyd that came out of Pittsburgh with the Cincinnati Bengals from a stylistic perspective. I don't think – I mean, he's definitely a skinnier type of receiver, but he's just got a, he kind of like takes you off guard a little bit, because I don't think that he's the greatest straight line athlete of all time, but he's just really deceptive in his movements. That's kind of what I see with Jeremiah McClellan. He kind of eats up some space sometimes just because he's got those long strides and good body and good length. So, yeah, McClellan's for that for me. He's more of a field wide receiver. I don't think that he's ever going to be a guy that's going to get put into the boundaries. I don't think that his body's going to be able to be like that. But, like, think Tyler Boyd style, Donovan Peoples-Jones style. Not quite the athlete that Donovan Peoples-Jones is, but just that length is kind of takes you off guard a little bit from a route running perspective. Emmett Mosley is interesting. I mean, he's one of those guys that if Notre Dame doesn't get Emmett Mosley in the class, it's a little bit of a miss, to be honest, because he's a kid that is a double generational player for Notre Dame, right? Like, his dad played wide receiver for the university. His mom was the all-time leading scorer in soccer when she graduated from Notre Dame. And he's a really talented player, explosive. He's in California area. He's been a transfer. The name's escaping me. It'll come to me in a second. But basically, he's transferred schools in California, so he hasn't played a crazy amount so far in his college career. I mean, his high school career, but he's a really talented player. So I'm interested to see. He strikes me as more explosive, twitchy type of dude. So Emmett Mosley's a really talented player. And then I haven't watched enough of Bredell Richardson to give you kind of a real in-depth understanding of him. But I think for each role, again, Micah Hudson can play both outside positions. Ryan Wingle, I think, is kind of the guy that can play everywhere. Tysier Denmark's your inside slot guy who can navigate space a little bit. Jeremiah McClellan is a guy. Yes, Brandon, thank you. Santa Margarita. That was exactly what I was thinking about. I appreciate you. Jeremiah McClellan's kind of a smooth, kind of takes you off guard with the straight length he has. And then Emmett Mosley, I believe, is more of an explosive short area guy. So all different styles. If I had to pick who I would target mostly out of this class as far as who I'd want in the class, if I'm picking like a class of three, for instance, Ryan Wingle is the guy for me that is the most diverse and impactful player of those group. But I would take him, Tysier Denmark inside the slot, and I think you just have to get Emmett Mosley, man. Like, you just have to get it in his class with his classification and his history. So, yeah, great question, Brandon. I appreciate you, man. We have John A1. If Braylon James jumps in the 2020 class, is it possible for him to get reps in a four-game scenario? Yeah, John. As long as he's eligible for the fall, yeah. If he shows up in the summer when all the other freshmen do, yeah, he's eligible to play in the four-game scenario. And I would expect him to. I would expect him to come in and at least, you know, compete for playing time, because he's got a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. He's the kind of guy that I think is going to be tough to keep off the field if he does reclassify. But we'll cross that bridge if that ever does come. But just to the talent level, yes, I think Braylon James is talented enough to do that, yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Hawk One, which running back stands out this season? I really do think that they're going to use a running back by committee approach. I think that it's more about what roles do each one of them play. Chris Tyree, explosive, big plays, yards per carry type of back. Logan Diggs, if he comes back from the injury, is kind of more of a slippery runner, can do some things in the screen game. Aldrick Estime has the power profile, but also really quick feet for a bigger back. I think it kind of takes you a little bit off guard just how quick he is as a bigger back. And then, I mean, Jadarian Price is kind of cut from that same Chris Tyree type of mold. He's explosive football player who also can do things in the passing game. And then if Jabron Payne is healthy, he's got a little bit of that Jadarian Price thing happening too. He's got decent long speed, really quick, can make people miss in space, can catch the football. So, but it, I mean, my standout in my breakout have been the same guy for about a month now, and that's been Ulrich Estime. I think that he is going to end up being the guy that maybe takes the biggest jump, the biggest leap, because, I mean, we barely saw him last year except for the one game, really. So he's a guy that I think is going to have a big role in this offense. I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the team in carries when it all is said and done, because I think he just has that profile where if he's your slightly heavier volume runner, and then you have guys like Chris Tyree who are explosive, and Logan Diggs who can be change of pace and using the screen game, and then Jadarian Price can mix and match. I think that that's the biggest upside to the group personally. So I think Ulrich Estime is going to take a big jump. When I saw him at the spring practice, man, I was just like, wow, that kid moves exceptionally well in short spaces for a guy as big as he is. So, yeah, my pick is Ulrich Estime, but I think it's going to be a committee approach. Kevon MC, who is a 2023 recruit at wide receiver that may be influenced by Dante committing to Notre Dame? One's named, not named, Tate or Jaylen Brown. Well, we don't talk about Dante Moore on this show, so I'm skipping this one. I'm just kidding. So who are the ones that are going to be impacted the most? I think that Notre Dame's in a really good spot with Jaden Greathouse currently. I think they are. I think they're still in a good spot with a guy like a Ronan Hanifin, and they are in an improving spot, and maybe they might be the leader for Rodney Gallagher as well. I think that the one that has the most impact is probably someone that we don't have on the board right now, because maybe they make a run at somebody that Dante kind of has that impact on the class. But out of the guys we know about, I'd say Rodney Gallagher. I think Rodney Gallagher really likes Notre Dame. And I think, again, when he came to campus for the Blue Gold game, he said that, you know, the trip really surprised him. And I think that they are the leader for Rodney Gallagher now. They got to close because he's going to take his official visits, and he's got a lot of interest from a very, very, very diverse regions across the United States. So there's going to be a lot of pitches. There's going to be very different pitches to a guy like Rodney Gallagher, really talented player. I think having a quarterback in the class like a Dante Moore can only help Notre Dame's cases in that regard, right? They're still playing the field against a guy like a Rodney Gallagher. So the more they can provide as far as the fit for him, the better that their situation will be and that their chances will be. All right, we are nearing the end, it looks like. Let's go to Sean Kane, Ryan of the group, who has more receptions this year, Tobias Merriweather, Deion Colsey, or Braden Lindsay? That's a great question, Sean. Great question. So I think that for me, Tobias and Colsey are going to kind of eat into each other's reps a little bit, right? Like we talked about them potentially, you know, maybe platooning to a degree into the boundary. So I think that I think that it's going to affect kind of the high volume of receptions for each one of those guys. So I'm going to go with Braden Lindsay. I'm excited about Lindsay. And Sean, I mean, I've said this multiple times in this podcast. He scares me so much. I feel like every single year I buy in a little bit to the Braden Lindsay hype, and then he burns me every single year. But I'm buying into it a little bit this year just because I was at the spring practice where he was, man, he just looked different. Like, he just looked strong. He looked different. He looked ready. He looked confident. He looked dialed in. So I'm buying just a little bit into Braden Lindsay this year. So I'll say Braden Lindsay has more receptions than both those freshman and a sophomore in that instance. All right, we're going to go to Brandon. Wanted to say this one so I can vent for a second. How the heck did Sam Pendleton move to a 3-star on the composite? I mean, we talk about this, Brandon, right? Like, there is as soon as a Notre Dame player commits, then it happens, right? Like, it's annoying. Sam Pendleton has done nothing. I know Sam Pendleton hasn't done anything in any camp settings because he doesn't go to any of these camps. He doesn't go to Under Armour or any of these camps that they have, the rivals camps. He doesn't do any of them. That's why he wasn't recruited for a while until late into his junior season, because he's not out in the open in front of everyone. So he for sure is one of those guys that definitely didn't show up to a camp and been like, wow, Sam Pendleton didn't look good. Like, there's nothing tangibly for Sam Pendleton to drop in the ranking other than there's a negative connotation around Notre Dame recruits after they commit. Just is all it is. I mean, I don't have an answer for you, Brandon. That's it, man. Like, there's no other explanation for it. It just is what it is. there's a bias against Notre Dame players after they commit, because Sam Pendleton sure has done nothing to deserve a drop. He hasn't played a snap. He hasn't gone to a camp. He hasn't done anything other than committing to Notre Dame. So that's the answer, unfortunately. Tyler Bedwell, if Braylon Jennings moves to 2022, does that reopen a spot in 2023? Sorry if that has already been covered. No, Tyler, hasn't been covered. I don't think it changes the numbers too much. I think you're still at four, potentially, at the kind of the cap if he moves to 2022, because it doesn't really affect the numbers on the roster that much, if that makes sense. Like, either way, after next year, you're losing Joe Wilkins. You're losing Braden Lindsey. You're losing Avery Davis. You're going to be out three guys. Braylon James getting reclassified doesn't affect that fact, right? There's not another guy. Like, I mean, a transfer can always happen, and that might open it up. But I don't think it's just directly because Braylon James moves into the class. I think either way, the number is still going to be the number in a two-year span. So I think they're going to stick to that number unless there is a transfer that happens. If one of the guys that is an underclassman decides to transfer, whatever it might be, you know, because, I mean, you still look at it. Jaden Thomas is not going to be an NFL guy after this year, obviously. Lorenzo Styles is not going to be an NFL guy after this year, obviously. Nobody else is really a definite mover after this season. So I don't think it changes the numbers. I really don't. Man, I think we're going to hit Brandon here for the last one. Great questions, everyone. Really appreciate it. Brandon says, I think Tobias versus Deion is a better question. It is a great question. I mean, we spent a lot of the show talking about it, Brandon. It's splitting hairs. I don't want to bet on a player, you know, having a bigger impact type of thing. But, I mean, Tobias, I think, is a better player coming out of high school than Deion was. Deion has the year, but the year was spent not being developed properly. So they're going to be coming in at relatively the same spot. I think at that point it's just, is Deion going to take that battle and get the best out of him? Because I think that his talent is definitely there. And he might have higher talent even than a Tobias Merriweather, possibly. I mean, from like a height, weight, speed type of combination. But I think Tobias is just a more advanced, ready-made type of route runner and just all-around wide receiver. So I'll say Tobias has a slightly larger role, but I think they both have to play. I think they really both have to play. If either one of those players doesn't come in and competes in 2022, I think that that's an issue for Notre Dame, to be honest, from a wide receiver depth perspective. All right. Unfortunately, I tried to hold down until Brian gets back, but it looks like we're not. If you all could please do me a favor, because you love me so much. I'm so fun, all this good stuff. If you're not on the message board, go to boards.irishbreakdown.com and make sure to sign up today. We have some intel. I think someone just put on that Smitty just put an intel piece on from a recruiting perspective. We have intel that's coming out pretty consistently. We're going to be doing a lot of recruiting stuff this weekend. We've talked about it a little bit, but Sullivan Abshire is making his commitment to either Notre Dame, Clemson, or NC State this Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern. So if you can please join the message board. Oh, and here's Mace AK. Mace AK, thank you so much. Join the message board. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. And if you could, please go and give us a 5-star review. And as always, go Irish. Thank you all so much for the questions. Appreciate you all for sticking around with me to do some of the mailbag stuff. We will see you again tomorrow for the next edition of the Irish Breakdown podcast. We'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.